O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to I Don't Have Much by Taylor Leonard, sung by Mission House. With tender, wondering lyrics, the singers ask how they can respond to the love of Jesus. Their conclusion is to offer up their lives and hearts to serve their Savior.
To love you like you love me, Lord, every part of me wants to love you like you loved me, my Lord. I don't have much, I don't.
Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In 1995, a guy named MacArthur Wheeler robbed a couple of banks in Pennsylvania, but he did so without wearing a mask. And not surprisingly, he was found and arrested. While in police custody, officers informed Wheeler that the evidence against him was overwhelming. They had him on surveillance tapes. And he quickly replied, "No, you don't." So they showed him the tapes, and he saw his face, and he stared incredulously and said, "But I wore the juice. I wore the juice." Apparently, MacArthur Wheeler was under the impression that smearing your face with lemon juice made it fuzzy or invisible to video cameras. It's been said that ignorance is bliss, but I think MacArthur Wheeler would disagree, as would the Apostle Paul. The latter half of this passage is a prayer from the Apostle Paul for a church that he loves and cares for deeply. And in this prayer, we see a blend of two essential elements of our faith: knowledge and action. Paul begins his prayer for the church by asking God that they would increase in knowledge and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? As an end in itself? So that the church might be filled with really intelligent and wise individuals? No. Paul hopes that they might come to a deeper understanding, so as, according to verse 10, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Knowledge is essential to the Christian life, to a healthy spirituality, but it is not an end in itself. It's meant to produce something in us. John Calvin asked, "Why should we become knowledgeable of God's word?" And this was his answer: "That we may walk worthy of God, that is, that it may be manifest in our life." Throughout the Bible, but particularly in the Old Testament, knowledge and conduct are bound together. To walk is a Jewish metaphor for conducting or behaving oneself. The writers of the Hebrew Bible saw an irrevocable connection between knowledge and conduct. From their perspective, a person did not know something unless he or she did it. True spiritual knowledge means action. So I want you to think, how is your knowledge of God playing out in everyday life? Does it make a difference? Does your life demonstrate an awareness of who God is? Well, in the next few minutes, I would encourage you to make Paul's prayer your own. Pray that God would increase your knowledge of him, that he would move in your heart and give you a hunger and thirst for his word, and ask that God would use that knowledge to help you walk in a manner worthy of him. Pray for the ability, the fortitude to apply that knowledge as he strengthens you with all power according to his glorious might. And may your heart be filled with thanksgiving all the way through, for by his grace you have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's close now with this prayer from Cyprian. Almighty God, who resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, send thy Holy Spirit and let that mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we may be meek and lowly of heart and never by our foolish pride provoke thine indignation, but receiving into humble and thankful hearts the gifts of thy providence and of thy grace, may thereby be continually refreshed. Teach us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, to be modest in speech, just and merciful in action, and benevolent to all. Let us prefer nothing to him who preferred nothing to our salvation, but grant us that adhering inseparably to his kingdom and standing bravely by his cross, we may be found faithful to death, and at the end may be admitted into the joy of his most blessed presence. Amen.